or not to glitch. Hey, it is Friday. We got a lot of great stuff that is going to be happening. Make no mistake about that. Certain things that always, always, always happen on a Friday. Well, I wear red. R-E-D. Remember, everyone deployed. It is a vital thing started by a couple of Marine moms a few years back. And it was all designed
to get us to wear red. I mean, just that simple. Wear some red so that people could see you were thinking about those who were serving elsewhere. Now, Memorial Day is not about those who are serving elsewhere. We're going to get into the meaning of Memorial Day. We'll do that in a couple of moments, I promise you. But 5 o'clock, I will provide you, as I do each and every year, with the real story that, for me, sums up in its entirety exactly what Memorial Day is all about. Memorial Day, as I've shared with you, is not for those who are serving today. It's not for those who served in the past. It is for those who made the ultimate sacrifice. It is a day to remember, commemorate, honor those who gave their lives in service to this country. It is very different than simply having put on the uniform. And I'm not minimizing those who have put on the uniform, but I am saying when we talk about Memorial Day, there is more to it. So at 5 o'clock, as I have done every year for as long as I can remember, I will share the story of the four chaplains, four heroic men, four men of faith, four godly men with servants' hearts who, well, they made the ultimate sacrifice on board the Dorchester so many years ago. We'll do that at 5 o'clock. I want us to have as much time as possible to explore it and dive into it. And hopefully you'll take the opportunity to share that as well. But it is Friday. And so on Fridays, as you know, I wear red, R-E-D, remember everyone deployed. I am wearing a red shirt today, thankfully. The laundry genie was on top of her game, and I've got my red shirt. But even if, in fact, I did not have an actual piece of red cloth to wear, some sort of a shirt or shorts or socks or what have you, always, my dear friend Emily Morrissey helps me out. So just to be on the safe side, I mean, I have the thin blue line bracelet on. You know, I wear a bracelet from Emily every day that ends in Y. But other than that, I'm telling you, not a single bracelet, but every day that ends in Y, I got at least one on. And Emily has a new version of the thin blue line bracelets. They actually debuted last week at the Vail event up here in Ashland. And so that was really, really, really cool. And I'm wearing my new version. I think it would be the third version. So each of them becomes more and more and more collectible. And in addition to that, as I said, just to be safe, I do have a red glass bead bracelet carefully crafted by my friend Emily. So I am absolutely all okay for today. I want to thank a couple of folks before we dive into everything we have to dive into. And that includes former Congressman Dave Brat, my favorite economist. As you know, I mean, Adam Smith was good. And there were a few other guys, I think, that were okay. They're no Dave Brat. But Dave will be with us at 3:35. Tony Pham is going to be with us at 5:35. Just a little update. I do want to hear exactly what is going on. I mean, if President Trump has now solved the problem at the border, right, we're back to having a safe, sound, secure border. Well, now what? What are they working on over there at DHS? Tony's going to fill us in. And I am, as always, looking forward to chatting with him. He's a dear friend, longtime friend. A couple of other things are going to happen. A couple of surprises, actually, that we had to call one or two audibles. And as always, Jeremy has risen to the occasion. Okay, a couple of things I would like to remind you about quickly. The James River Air text line is available to you, 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. I will be at the Virginia War Memorial on Monday. I'm hoping to see a lot of people there. I am scheduled as one of the readers. You want to talk about a humbling experience to be charged with reading even one name that's up on the Shrine of Memory is, well, I mean, it's humbling. But to then be charged with reading, I believe each of us has agreed to read 50 names. There are 12,000 that are there. So it's going to be a long day. I have one of the early spots. I was one of the first people invited to do this. And if you think I hesitated in responding yes, well, then we don't really know each other. Let me introduce myself. Jeff Katz, pleasure to meet you. So that's going to be Monday. I will urge you, as I have at every point leading up to Memorial Day, to please remember what it is all about. I know lots of us are going to be involved in, well, enjoyable activities, right? The weather is looking pretty good. It's a little chilly, but it's not bad. And we've got a lot of rain moving in, but that's not till next week on Tuesday. So it's going to be a lovely long weekend to do all sorts of wonderful, enjoyable things. And every one of those lovely, enjoyable things that you and I are going to get to do this weekend have been paid for by those men and women who gave their lives in service to this country. None of us would be enjoying a day at the beach with food and beverages and suntan lotion or sunscreen or whatever it is that you're using, and unless there were young men who were coming ashore on a beach, say Normandy. So just please remember that. That's all I'm asking you to do. That's all. That's all. All right. What else do we need to do today? We need to prepare, right? Need to prepare to commemorate the losses, to honor the sacrifices. If you are going to, quote, celebrate Memorial Day, then you, well, I would say probably do not fully understand the holiday. But to take a moment and commemorate and honor those who've made that sacrifice, okay, that's good. That's good. And then by all means, go and enjoy. Go and celebrate, but always have that in the back of your mind, why you're able to do that. Just a couple of things. One or two other things that I want to acknowledge. I said I had to thank a few folks in addition to the millions who have sacrificed throughout the years to make this possible. I thank them. I try and thank them one way or another every day. I want to thank the wonderful folks this morning who welcomed me to the Mount Vernon Baptist Church. It's over on Knuckles Road in the West End. It was the third annual Police Command Staff Prayer Breakfast. Now, a couple of years back, I guess about 4 years ago, I remember when Pastor Steve Boot shared with me the idea, and he and Major Eric Gowan
from the Virginia State Police were both just sort of kind of kicking the idea around. Wouldn't it be cool? This could be nice. What do you think about this? Could we do this? And I don't know how exactly they did it, except fully understanding this was a mission from God. It is a mission from God. And they pulled it off again 3 years in a row. And 3 years in a row, they have asked me to offer the final words, the end, the closing prayer, and a couple of, well, you know, I'm fundamentally a speaker. I mean, far be it for me to even have the capacity to limit my speech, right? You know I got to say something. So I did. But to be amongst those heroes is just absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRB. 3:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Yes, I will remind you that the nomination phase for the Richmond Times-Dispatch Best of Competition is underway as we speak. What does it run, Germ? Another week or so? I think it's another week, thereabouts. If I'm wrong, then, well, hey, there's a shock for you, right? But I think it's about another week, and I would love, 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 love for you to go over there and nominate the Jeff Katz Show as the best afternoon radio show. I will have my nominations for all of those categories up. I will post them shortly. I know I've been promising it, but honest to goodness, it is actually on the list to do. If you knew how many of my friends are nominatable, if that's a word, you would understand. You would understand why it's going to take a while. But it'll go up this weekend, that I promise you. Okay? With that being said, you go to this particular website, go.richmond.com/the best, go.richmond.com/the best, okay? Go over there. There's a long list. They have a lot of categories that are open. Some of them are going to jump right out at you. Some of them you're going to think, huh, I don't even think I use that. Well, if you don't use it, I would suggest don't nominating. Although, you know who showed up? Germ, did you see this? Heidi's photography. Yeah, well, my lovely bride is an amazing photographer. She really is. And so she's up there. If you see the photography listing with Heidi, would you vote for her? Nominate her, please? I'd love to see her win that. Or at least get nominated. Nomination is pretty cool, I'll tell you that. I would like to end our run, but only after 7 years. Let's be real clear on that. Not this year, not even next year. But at the 7 year mark, then they retire you. You don't even have a choice. Seriously, you don't. 7 years in a row, they say, thank you very much, go away. You're hogging the category. So what I would do, truthfully, I think a couple of our music people have nominated themselves, right, Germ, in the afternoon? They should be voting for me. They should be telling their listeners to vote for me. So then I get the heck out of the way, and then it just sort of opens it up for them, you know? You got to think strategically on this stuff. You got to think ahead. But I don't know if that's happening in the moment. But go.richmond.com/the best. Go.richmond.com/the best. Now, Jerem, I know you think I'm joking. I'm very serious. Every one of the music stations that has nominated one of their people, they should be running pre-recorded announcements and liners and promos for me. Last thing they want to do is tell their listeners to vote for them. Screw up the whole thing. Well, they tell their listeners to vote for me. Moves me closer to the, well, I don't even know what they call it. It's not like a Hall of, is it like a Hall of Fame? Is that what they call it? Or the Hall of Shame? Or the injured reserve list? Whatever the heck they call it, but it'll get me out of the way, and it just makes it that much easier for them. Yeah, the Hall of Go Away. God. Germ, you interact with some of those people there at the Radio Factory, don't you? I mean, maybe not directly, but you know who they are. Mention that to them. Sit them down. You may need a whiteboard and multicolored magical markers so that they understand the game plan. They have to understand the strategic portion of this.
I want to win.
No.
I want people to vote. No, no, you don't. No, you don't.
You want your folks to vote for me, and then they'll make it easier for you the next time. Okay, James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Coming up in just a moment, former Congressman Dave Brandt. Looks like President Trump's big, beautiful bill is now over in the Senate. What happens over there? 326, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Great job, Sarah. Boy, I'll tell you what. Now, you know, I'm a Charles Pyle fan. Charles is the real deal, and we are fortunate to have him as part of this here little program. But we are also very, very, very fortunate to have Sarah Huffman on the team, doing a great, great job. And nice to hear her doing some anchoring, as well as the great reporting. What can I tell you? We're very fortunate. I don't know if you had the chance to listen this morning to Richmond's Morning News with Rich Herrera. I'm hoping you did. I've been trying to encourage people to visit with Rich between 6 and 10. I was so happy yesterday when Rich actually reached out and asked me if I would come on to speak a little bit about what had happened up in D.C. He didn't have to, but he did. And I was certainly not happy about what happened, but certainly happy about sharing my thoughts and some of my insight. So, again, 6 o'clock in the morning is when you're going to find Rich hosting Richmond's Morning News, and I would urge you to check it out. The big, beautiful, bouncing ball of, well, I don't know, whatever it is. It's that thing that President Trump says has to be passed. And certainly talking with a lot of folks I know who are on my team, if you will. I'm making those air quotes because sometimes I'm not quite sure who's on the team and who's not. But it seems like we all, for the most part, are thinking, okay, good plan. Let's see what happens in the Senate. And I don't know what happens after that, but could get to the president's desk. We might see something good. We might see something bad. Remember last week, Dave Brandt was kind of giving us some of the negative stuff that might happen. Maybe there's something that has changed in the week. I don't know, but we're about to find out. My favorite economist and good guy, former member of Congress, Dr. Dave Brandt. Now, I remind everybody, Dave, even though he is the senior vice president for business relations at Liberty University, is never here on behalf of Liberty University. He's simply here because he's a good guy and he's a friend. Dave, thank you for being here, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jeff.
I want us to do something we very rarely get the chance to do. Is that okay?
Yes, fine.
I want to start on the highest of high notes because our Lady Flames had the biggest upset in women's softball history when they took out the number one team in the country, Texas A&M. So big things for the Lady Flames, right?
Yeah, no, that's an incredible win. I saw part of the game. And it's just great. It's just great to see that. And then our players are such class acts. And that coach, she's going over the summer to coach some of the pro teams. And she's a great Christian role model as well. So yeah, great team effort.
I love it. And we're playing Oregon tonight, right? That's the big game.
Yep. Come on up. Yeah. When you said the high notes, it brought me back to my high school trumpet days. I was thinking of Maynard Ferguson hitting a triple high C.
Wow. Oh, you're good. Dude, that's impressive.
Remember him? Maynard, he was a trumpeter for the first Rocky movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Now you're betraying both of our ages, but what the heck? Everybody already knew, right? So we might as well.
I know.
We'll just revel in it. That's okay.
That's right.
Yep. All right. Now, let's get back to the non-Lady Flames. The big, beautiful bill has made it through the House. It's over in the Senate. Are there good things coming out of it, or is it still, in your opinion, sort of a, I don't even remember how you described it, but you weren't happy with it?
Yeah, well, I probably said it was gimmicky. It's we're becoming, you know, Democrat light with this SALT stuff. I mean, we're giving tax deductions to the richest folks on the coast, and we're having to fly over country, manufacturing, displaced cities, and blue collar people pay for it. It's just stunning.
Yeah,
you know, so that's one thing. Then the Medicaid stuff, we just got to be very careful on that. I think they are being careful. I think they're just getting rid of the able-bodied folks who can be out working and paying the bill.
Yep.
And so we, you know, the mega base is we're looking out for the working class. And so you just got to make sure we do it the right way. But there's tons, you know, Obamacare just incentivized the states to have everyone sign up because the Fed said we're going to pay for 90% of it.
Yeah.
And the states only had to pay 10%. And so that it's just total, you know, free candy. And so I don't want to see the Republicans turn into Democrats, just offer stuff. And so there's good stuff. There's border stuff. There's tax incentives for capital, right? Mm-hmm. For capital investment. That will grow the economy. That's really good. And then, you know, there's a ton of good pieces in it, too. But at the end of the day, it doesn't reduce spending. And, you know, we're giving out huge tax cuts, $4 or $5 trillion, and the spending cuts are not matching. And there's a few other things they got in play that might save us some money. The tariffs might give you $300 billion or something like that.
Okay.
But it's that thing. Right after COVID, the spending shot up, and we should have crushed it right back down to normal. And mm-hmm. in D.C., that never happened. So that's the big problem is the deficits stay at the same level.
Mm. Dave, one of the things that I've heard mentioned as... I guess maybe it's happy talk, maybe it's hopeful, it's wishful, or maybe it's well planned out. I don't know. But they said with the growth in the economy that this is sure to bring, we will see such an increase in our GDP that's what's somehow, some way going to offset this. Is that just fuzzy math, or does that make sense some way?
No, I don't buy it. I think we probably pumped growth up, you know, to maybe something like 3 again, like Trump in 19.
Okay.
You know, it's a similar tax cuts. You get 3% growth, which is good. Not great. And then the key sentence is we're going to grow our way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I would have said, yeah, we could grow our way out of this. But not now that this has changed, right? We're 37 trillion of debt. The bond market is starting to have hiccups. You got global instability. The jobs and housing market, some of that's still problematic, held over. So we've let ourselves become sclerotic, right? We got hardening of the arteries. And so you can do tax cuts, but if you're not getting rid of the government, you know, crowding out and all, 80% of our energy subsidies are to subsidize China-induced green energy, still.
Wow.
I know, yes. You can't make this stuff up, right? That's where all the grids are coming for, the solar, the green stuff. The solar now, it turns out, they have kill switches in it. The Chinese have installed it. They checked that out in Sandia Labs back in 17 and confirmed it. So, you know, everything I say, I've got receipts for it. And people want to go, just go Google it or do your artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Make sure Brat's telling the truth. But it's not good. There's a lot of stuff we got to clean up that's really bad.
Well, now, wait a minute.
So
who was it on our side that thought it was a good idea to keep all the new Green Deal crap all around? I thought we all agreed we're going to get rid of that.
No, we got six Republican senators out in Arizona and out west where the sun always shines.
Ugh.
And so they're in favor of having this energy solution that doesn't work for the rest of the country, which has clouds once in a while.
Oh my gosh.
So the problem with all that stuff is it doesn't provide you continuous power, especially after dusk.
Yep.
And then you're in major, and they're having blackouts, right? In Spain and in our country, we've got near blackouts happening out in California and whatever.
Yeah.
And I forgot to bring up news, the Harvard China connection, because you're never going to see that out on the mainstream media.
Right.
But go look that up, because that ain't pretty.
No. And everything is winding up in these district courts, as you know. I know you're following that, and it is so absurd. But, you know, on the one hand, I'm thinking, Dave, it is the it's the indication that there's nothing left to the left, right? That this is their only game plan. They can't win. They have no ideas. They have no leaders. But the problem is they've already installed those judges, and those judges are as crazy as they are. And while it might get overturned with the Supremes, gosh, they just keep putting roadblock after roadblock in front of the president.
Yeah, well, they say they love democracy, but they don't like it, apparently. They're blocking every part of democracy that got elected. So that I believe they said democracy was so important for years, but it's a serious problem, right? I mean, it's kind of just like Zuckerbucks.
Yeah.
Zuckerbucks put up, you know, half of, I don't know how many, $500 million or something. Mm-hmm. And the problem was it was systematically aimed at that only key states.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's the problem with these judges. They're all leftist judges aimed at key states and key issues. And that is not the judiciary supposed to be blind, right? Lady Justice. So, boy, that's the problem. It's like if they, I don't care if judges block a president and it's kind of randomly distributed and here and there you get a judge that says, no, I differ. Okay, that's one thing, but that's not what's going on here. This is systematic. Use of the Article 3 powers that are intended to interpret the law, not make policy.
I have to ask you this question, Dave, because it is, again, the explanation that's been given to a lot of us with this big, beautiful bill. Dave, Jeff, this is the best we're going to get. Just, you know, get on board, join the line. Is that right?
Well, no, it's horrendous logic. That's what put us in the ditch. Moody's just downgraded us again. We've been doing it for 30 years. China's cleaning our clock.
Yeah.
And our military is not aligned properly.
Yeah.
And the country just lacks leadership. And so instead of running on, like Trump did, on a few policies and winning, the House is just, you know, tossing out stuff to New Yorkers and then Texans and this. And then they let the individuals go off and run, and that's not a good way to win because you don't have any leadership.
Yeah. I am still going to be hard-pressed. I'm not a betting man, and I don't know that you are, but I would definitely take the under if we're doing the over-under on how many votes in New York this salt stuff gets us.
I know. And it's costing us our logic.
Yeah.
I mean, that, and you know, those guys wanted an $80,000 deduction of state and local taxes. That's more than the average American makes.
Right.
I know. Sorry. So it's like, come on, guys, you're just showing how out of touch. And if your state is that mismanaged, well, then that's your fault.
That's it. And you're
in that state. Fix the problem in your state.
Yep.
Don't make us pay for your mistakes. It's a disaster.
Exactly. All right. Well, that's pretty close to hopeful. It's not good. It's not as hopeful and as happy as Lady Flames, but I'll take that. At least it's a good dose of honesty, you know?
The converse is that if we don't do it, it's a disaster, right?
So,
we need you got to have put in the policy, right?
So,
that's the good news.
Ugh, I'll take it. I'm snatching the good stuff, right? Even though it's surrounded by the bad stuff. Dave.
It's a sunny Friday.
Exactly.
Going into a holiday, so everybody go have fun with the families and hot dogs and get a little sunburn, play some sports, and God bless everybody out there.
Thank you, my friend. That is Dr. Dave Bratton. I remind everybody, Dave is the Senior Vice President for Business Relations at Liberty University. He's never here on behalf of the college. He's not here on behalf of Liberty. I, however, am more than happy to tell you what a great school Liberty is. You have a son or a daughter, a niece, nephew, grandson, granddaughter who's thinking about college. They need to take a drive down to Lynchburg. They need to visit Liberty because it's a wonderful, wonderful school. The kids are great. I mean, the students themselves are standouts. And those folks on the faculty are just stellar. They're great. And again, I'm going to say go Lady Flames, all right, tonight. They play Oregon, and I don't know if it's the whole McGilla tonight, but it's pretty close, right? It is Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. 356 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday. Oh, yeah, it is. Congratulations. We have made it. Self-high fives all the way around. I'm just getting a very, very important update here. The Red Sox are in the lead. Well, it comes up every time the Red Sox are playing. It comes up on my phone, 6-2. What's the name of the Cleveland team now? Anybody know? Remember, they were the Cleveland Indians. And then a couple of years back when everything got changed and canceled, what did they become? I don't even, honest to goodness, I don't even know. It's not even Cleveland. Who's another one with, I don't even know who it is. All right, whoever it is, we're beating them. Yay, Sox. That's all I have to say. Coming up in a couple of moments. Oh, and actually, if you do know the name of the Cleveland team, do me a favor. Shoot it to me over on the James Riviera text line, please. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. I'd like to tell you that I keep track of it. I'd like to tell you I'm a baseball fan, but as you know, I'm not a baseball fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. Now, there is a difference. Go Sox. And other than that, you are on your own. We've got a dear friend of mine, Jonathan Cotton, who's going to join us. They're doing something very, very, very special for Memorial Day. He's going to tell us all about it at 4:05. It is 3:57, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. Yeah. We have made it, and self-high fives all the way around. Ah, lovely weather. Oh, it is. It's comfortable. It's relatively cool. The humidity is relatively low. We're going to have this pretty much through the weekend. And then next week, we've got rain. Well, we got plenty of rain one way or another for the rest of the week. I always remind people about the meaning of Memorial Day. And I remind you that there are different holidays for different things, right? We have Armed Forces Day. We have Veterans Day. We have Memorial Day. Memorial Day is about honoring those who made that ultimate sacrifice. So even though you and I, at some point during the extended weekend, which is how most people, we got an extra day off. I understand that. And most of us are going to do something that's really nice. It's relaxing. It's fun. I just urge you. I ask you. I beseech you. Please keep somewhere in your heart and in the back of your mind why you're able to do that. Monday, if you're available, a number of us are going to be there reading the names of every person on the walls at the shrine. And I will be there. I think not that it's important that you're there when I'm reading it, but I do know, I think it's about 1 o'clock that I will be reading my section of names. And I'd love for you to be there. Yeah. Virginia War Memorial tomorrow. But it's going to be going on late into the night. There are 12,000 names there that are going to be read. So hopefully you'll have the opportunity to do that. I am always happy when I hear from my friend Jonathan Cotton. Jonathan, as you know, owns and operates the Good Feet stores and does just an incredible job. My goodness, the lives that they have changed through the years, not only with the products, but with their interaction in the community, their support for the community. And it's no great surprise that as we are observing Memorial Day, Jonathan and the team at the Good Feet store once again stepping up and saying, hey, let's help a bit. And I'm happy to welcome Jonathan to the show. Jonathan, thank you for being here, my friend.
Thank you, Jeff. It's always a privilege to be on, and thank you for your support of the community. That's why we feel so aligned with you, Jeff, with your passion for that, because we share that same passion.
You sure do. You guys are the best of the best. We need to talk about your book, which I just got today because you were kind enough to drop it off over there at the Radio Factory. And then once I've had the opportunity to read it, I want to get you back to really, really dive into it, because you have you've just created such a wonderful success story with the Good Feet store and all the opportunities you've given to people over there. I want you to share some of the tips and some of the insight.
Well, we definitely, and I'd love to do that. I'd love to come back and talk about The Business of Character. That's the name of the book, The Business of Character. People can find it on Amazon or anywhere that you like to buy your books. But a central theme of that is taking the power of a business, the place that a business has in all of our communities, and finding ways to use that power of influence in multiple ways. Mm-hmm. And the first place is with employees, right? Providing jobs, not only providing jobs, but providing a place where people are going to be respected, where they're going to be find it safe, and they're going to have opportunity to be able to maybe enjoy things and pursue things that they didn't before in their careers. So that's number one. The second thing is customers. And we like to say, you know, that we're just not in the business of selling products, that our customers are buying hope. And that's a great business to be in when people need hope in this world that has a lot of anxiety and that kind of thing. And certainly when, if you have foot, knee, or hip or back pain, Jeff, you know what that's like, and you know how that can drain you of hope. And so we love at the Good Feet Store, we love to be in that business. But the third is, we say that if we do those first two things right, then all things being equal, we should be able to make an investment in our community. And how what we like to say with that is that as members of our community, we walk beside those in our community, regardless of their need, because we're people who love our neighbors, and we believe it's more blessed to give than to receive. And early on, actually before I became a business owner, I became connected to a woman whose name is Bonnie Carroll. And Bonnie founded TAPS in 1994, TAPS, Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. That came out of Bonnie losing her husband, Brigadier General Tom Carroll with the Alaskan National Guard, died in a plane crash. And as she walked through that journey of grief, she realized that while the military spends tons of money on so many different things, there was a massive gap in caring for the families of the military fallen. And so out of that tragedy, it was the inspiration for her to form TAPS, based in Arlington, Virginia, a phenomenal organization that touches people not only in the United States, but really around the globe, and does it, Jeff. When we talk about the government, what do we normally talk about? It's not done even, you know, start having any meaning until we talk about billions of dollars, right?
Right.
TAPS functions on about a $15 million annual budget, annual budget. And they're effective because of the passion that Bonnie and her team have. Yeah. And that's what we love to point people to as a way to honor those who have given the ultimate sacrifice on this weekend.
Well, how do we help? How do we help TAPS? How do we help Bonnie? What's the mechanism here, Jonathan?
Two ways. The first is on Memorial Day at any of our stores. And, you know, we're blessed to have stores now from Cleveland down to Destin, Florida. But any of the stores here in Virginia, we have the stores, our legacy store at the West Broad Marketplace by Wegmans and Cabela's, and then also on Midlothian Turnpike. So in the Richmond area, they can find them there.
Right.
But any of our sales, we're going to give 25% of our sales in all 43 of our stores to TAPS. So 25% of our sales on Memorial Day will go to TAPS. That will be the first thing. Okay. The second is that TAPS has a challenge starting in June called the 30-mile challenge. 30 days in June, okay? Right. Walk or run 30 miles throughout the month of June, 1 mile a day, your own pace, wherever you are.
Okay.
And then every step can help raise awareness for TAPS. And you can sign up at TAPS.org, TAPS.org/30miles. Or you can come by the Good Feet store, and we'll help you sign up for that, you know, to do that. Oh. It's a great way to be involved in bringing awareness to these wonderful families who, when they gather for these holidays and that kind of thing, there's a Sikh missing. And it's a way for us to recognize them, to support it financially. If you come to the Good Feet store on Monday on Memorial Day and you purchase anything at the Good Feet store, we're going to make that easy because we're going to make the donation on your behalf. Right. To that.
Wow. Jonathan, I love that. I love as well this 30 miles in June. You're talking about a mile a day. Now, there's some people like you. Are you doing the bulk of that 30 miles on one day and then leaving the rest of your month open? How are you going to make it work?
I haven't actually figured that out yet, Jeff.
Okay.
It's a beautiful time to run, that's for sure. I mean, a day like today, oh, my word. Oh. It is so fun to run. But I'm not going to do it all in one day. I probably won't do the bulk of it in one day. But okay. It is so fun. And I run the Marine Corps Marathon, and that was a great experience and an incredibly inspiring experience because you go there through and you have all the memorials to those who have fallen during that race. There's two things. One is just fun to get out and to be active, and then to do something for such a great cause. That's what we're all about, the Good Feet Store.
It sure is. So TAPS.org, TAPS, TAPS.org, for folks who want to get signed up for that that mile a day. And then this Monday at any of the Good Feet Store locations, the ones that are closest to us, obviously, right by Wegmans and Cabela's and Short Pump and down on the south side near Mission Barbecue, Stone Village Parkway, as I recall. So beautiful, beautiful stores. Great people. I mean, I love interacting with the people. You've inspired them and given them the tools. And I also am always so... I'm always so happy, Jonathan. I must confess this, and I'll do it in front of everybody. I'm always so happy when I see a photo or two of Gentry, who is just a rock solid guy, and he and I suppose are brothers in blue. I mean, he's still on the job, and he's doing a great job as a law enforcement officer and giving back to the community. It's a good family you got over there, my friend.
I couldn't agree with you more. Jeff, an incredible blessing from God that we thank the Lord for all of our children. And Gentry, the work that he's doing there in Fort Worth as a police officer is incredible. And sometime we could talk about that, too, about the special work that he is doing to help stop the root cause of some of the criminal element in our communities. And that's something that I hope that one day we can bring to Richmond through a nonprofit that they partner with out there. And the work that's being done, and he is spearheading that effort for the Fort Worth, the police department, and it's having transformational effects. So a lot of problems in the world, but a lot of good things, a lot
All right.
of beacons of light.
I love it. I love it. So Monday we start helping TAPS go over to any of the Good Feet Store. 25% of the sales given right over to TAPS. And then, Jonathan, you're going to come back, you promised, after I get to read your book. And I want to talk about the efforts that Gentry is spearheading down there in Fort Worth. Who knows? We put our heads together. Maybe we can get it running here in Central Virginia. That's a great goal to have.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, Jeff, and we always appreciate your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend. That is Jonathan Cotton. God bless you. Jonathan is such a good guy. Now, Jonathan's crazy, as I told you, because he loves running 26 miles at a time. I never did quite figure that out. But other than that, he is the absolute salt of the earth. And if you have been thinking about visiting the Good Feet Store, you can do it on Monday. And 25% of the sales are going to TAPS. What a marvelous organization. And again, in June, 30 miles in 30 days, a mile a day to help out TAPS. You can get registered for that right online, TAPS.org, TAPS.org. Or as Jonathan said, you can pop into any of the Good Feet Store. They'll help you get signed up. I love it. 416, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 423, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. Not that I'm excited about it, but hey, it's Friday, and there you go. What more do you need to know? All right, fine. Congratulations, we made it. Self high fives all the way around. I am very happy that it's Friday. I got a couple of good things coming up this evening. If you're not doing anything, and even if you are, again, you should probably cancel it. 6:30-ish this evening, I'll be on with our friends over at Newsmax. Now, the actual call time for me, I have to be on the set at 6:30, and it's supposed to be a 6:40 hit. So I urge you to get there at 6:30. Now, you probably have figured out by this point the way this goes. Sometimes these things are late. They're never early. You will be on time if you get there at 6:30 watching Newsmax. You'll get to see my smiling face. It is warm enough that I will be wearing long pants, although they'll probably be sweatpants and flip-flops. But from the waist up, man, I will be totally suitable for television. And on Sunday morning, I will be on Newsmax yet again. And I would urge you to join me there. What time is that? I think it's 8:30 for me, which means, yeah, you should get there at 8:30 as well. Lots of folks letting me know. It's the Cleveland Guardians. Wow. Who knew? Have you been to Cleveland? What the heck are they guarding there? I mean, if I were in Cleveland, I don't think that I would guard it all that closely. I'd probably have the attitude of, yeah, back the truck up, get it out of here. Just move it along. Get my junk. Did I mention get my junk? William and Joseph and the team, we just had to get rid of this washer. Remember the big adventure, the Katz family washer? Well, we finally got rid of it. I still have to put the door back on down in the lower level. Hopefully I'll do that this weekend. But William and Joseph and the team from Get My Junk, it's a military guy. I mean, William is retired Coastie. His son is an ensign, just got commissioned, well, it's probably a year ago now, commissioned as an ensign in the Navy. So they're good people, and they do great work, and I love them. Coming up in a moment, another great guy. Stan Andruski is going to be here. Yeah, looking forward to chatting with Stan. It is 425, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 435, it is Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. Ah, yes, we have made it. Congratulations. Self-high fives all the way around. There are certain things that happen on most Fridays. I wear red, right? R-E-D, remember everyone deployed. I'm doing that as we speak. A red shirt as well as a red glass bead bracelet crafted by the Bracelet Whisperer herself, Emily Morrissey from emilysbracelets.com. And what else do we... Peppa Pig hat. Yep, because nothing says it's Friday like Peppa Pig. I do remind you, it is Memorial Day coming up on Monday. I'd love to have you come down to the Virginia War Memorial. There are a number of us who are going to be reading the names of all 12,000 fallen. They are on the Shrines of Memory down there, the Virginia War Memorial. It's going to be an all-day thing. I'm supposed to be there relatively early, noon, 1 o'clock, something like that, right at the beginning. But that's going to be going on probably till 1 o'clock in the morning to get through all 12,000 names. It's going to be very meaningful. It's going to be an emotional experience and a rewarding experience. And you know what? Actually, underscoring all of it, a humbling experience. So hopefully you'll come out for that. We're all going to have some fun over the long weekend. I get that. I'm not asking anybody to give that up. I'm just really, please, asking you to remember what the real reason is behind it, why we get to have all this fun and all this enjoyment, not have to worry about things. All right. My friend. I demoted him from friend. That's right. Family now. Stan Andruski, my brother from another mother. During the week, you would ordinarily find him at Certified Auto Repair, 8401 Oakview Avenue in the Lakeside section of Henrico, or over at Arts Automotive Service in the Yellow Tavern section of Henrico. A lot of people going to be doing a lot of driving. And Stan's got one or two tips for us. Stan, good afternoon, sir. Stan? Uh-oh. Jeremy, Stan is texting me frantically. He dropped. You dropped. All right. Get him back. Hurry up. All right. I sure hope he heard all the nice stuff I said about him. He's going to think I took the time and hung up on him. I wouldn't do that. All right, Stan, be patient. Be patient. Jeremy is calling you just as fast as his fingers can fly. He'll be with you in a moment. Coming up at 5:35, Tony Pham is going to be with us. Tony has to give me an update. Given that President Trump apparently has pretty much solved the border issue, I want to know what DHS is doing now. Are they bored? Are they? Well, I don't know. But we'll find out from Tony Pham. We'll do that at 5:35. Good afternoon, Stan.
Jeff Katz. Jeff Katz, I see what you guys really think about me now. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I dropped 2 seconds before you came on. It was really weird. It was like there was some kind of conspiracy, maybe. I don't know.
Wow. And now...
But here I am.
Well, I'm fine. You sound like some sort of an undercover robot, so we know it's your phone.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
So I will say I heard a lot of what you said. Thank you for all the nice things. And, again, what you do for Central Virginia. We are coming up on Memorial Day weekend, and I've had three people today tell me happy Memorial Day weekend, and I just can't get over that. I can't bring myself to ever say happy Memorial Day. Sure, it's happy that we have freedom, right? And as you spoke of, I just can't help but be thankful, and I want to tell everybody out there who's lost a loved one in the military, just we are beyond thankful for it. We do a lot for you guys locally. If you ever need your car repaired at Certified Auto Arts, the least we can do as we look out for our veterans, you guys definitely get a hefty discount on any repairs at either one of our stores. But it goes well beyond that. We do... I just see people who go away. There are people out there who have a child, right? And they get married and they go off. They have to go off. They go off to war. They go fight. And then they never get to see their child and they don't make it home. And the wife for 15 months or however long they're away, is sitting there with somebody who made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have a indeed happy next 3 days overall. So I just wanted to just offer my appreciation and just say thank you and just ask everybody to remember, if you have somebody even now that's currently serving or who's lost somebody, please just drop a prayer for them. Drop them a line this weekend.
Yeah.
Say hello.
Yep.
Bring by some old apple pie or something, some American old-fashioned apple pie. So with that being said, super excited about what's coming up with Memorial Day. Yes, it is a time to travel. People do use this freedom we have. At least we take advantage of it in America. You can't say we don't. People travel and they go out there and usually the first really busy travel time of the season. So before you travel, you've heard right before I came on, car seats. You got to make sure your car seats, guys. We see car seats to this day that they're not doing any good in the back of these cars. So make sure they used to do it in Henrico. I don't know if Hanover does it now, but you could go by the local fire station and they would make sure it was installed properly. Some people don't have the strength. It's literally got to be anchored down.
Oh, yeah.
So please take the time to do that. Speaking of children, it's getting to be warm. Speaking of pets, it's getting to be warm. Don't leave pets and kids in your car. If it's an emergency situation for a pet, don't let me see your windows up. I've seen three cars in the last 2 weeks with the dog. They walk in, and even today where it's 75 degrees out, it can be 100 degrees in that car. You can still kill a dog, a pet, or a baby. So these are travel tips, but yes, it's just common sense. It's that time of year again, guys.
Yeah.
Don't leave things in the car that are alive.
Absolutely.
And when you go on trips, you talk about this all the time. What do we look for? If you come to Certified, every time you bring your car in for an oil change or state inspection, you're getting everything checked over anyway. So we're warning you, hopefully, of these things. If you have low fluid levels, if your tires need to be inflated, or if they're worn out, we look at your belts, we look at your windshield wipers, we look at your coolant, we look at even your washer fluid. So when you're going down a highway and it's raining, and in your wipers, making sure that they are wiping, guys, it passes inspection unless they're torn, basically. And we have seen them come in and put new wipers on that were 10 years old and never tore. And they come back and say, did you put a new windshield on my car? Like, the difference is night and day.
Wow.
Don't wait on the wipers. And then you and I talk about this all the time, Jeff, about something that happened in wintertime. It certainly can happen in the middle of summer, which may be worse. But making sure that you have a road care kit, like just some spring water, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's a gallon. Isn't it like a gallon a day per adult or something you got to have minimum?
That's correct.
So, a half a gallon for a pup or for a pet. So you want to make sure you have water at all times. You want to make sure that you have... things like that are non-perishable, some granola bars, maybe some beef jerky, some things that are not going to go bad, and all of your medicines. If you're going any further than an hour, maybe 45 minutes up the street, you're going to be on the interstate for any amount of time, you want to make sure you're bringing extra medicine. And my doctor tells me I do have to take blood pressure medicine now. Mm-hmm. It just started getting up. But when I take it, he's like, make sure that you have, three or four blood pressure pills in your center console. I'll make sure that you have enough. And every... you know, every 2 months, just switch them with a new fresh one. Like, just, that's what my doctor tells me. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm right. saying you do need to have medicine in your car if it's life and death. You know, whether it be glucose tablets or your, you know, this is stuff that we forget. You'd be amazed the stories we hear between both shops.
Yeah. I'm sure the mind boggles, and such great advice, such sage advice. You've got to be prepared. It's just that simple, and it's not that difficult to make those preps before you go and hit the road. And as we've talked about, I mean, we have this underlying important reason for Memorial Day. We all need to acknowledge it and observe it, and at the same time, because of those sacrifices, we get to do some pretty cool stuff, some marvelous vacation stuff, and it is, for many people, this is sort of the very first long road trip of the season. You've got to hope that everybody had it over at Certified or Arts before they hit the road to take a look at the fluids and everything else, but even with that, I'm thinking this year going to be a little bit better for travel, because the weather, at least through Monday, is actually quite comfortable. You know, we're not going to see 100 degrees or 20 degrees. It's going to be 70, 72, low humidity. It's good driving weather.
Yeah, it will be absolutely beautiful, and I hope people do get out and take advantage of the time. And, you know, I still feel like, you know, COVID seems like so far away and so long ago, but we were pretty much trapped. You talk about losing freedoms.
Yeah.
Some of the things that we are doing. You know, if nothing else, just we can celebrate that you can – you know, you could go in a public place and not have to wear a mask, and you can talk to people again, and you can get out, and boy, just so many things to be thankful for. And you mentioned your Red Friday. I've started doing that as well, and I usually wear my RVA shirt, which is Serve RVA Week from Heights Church. I'm talking to you about that. Guys, if you want to serve and you want to give back to your community, you really feel like you need a little more in your life, there is no way better to deal with stress and anxiety in your own life than to go help some other people. Trust me.
Amen.
I didn't used to think this way. The minute I start doing it, it makes your problems go away. Literally, you are helping other people. And so we're doing Heights RVA Week. It started off as a day a few years ago. You know, we had a few hundred volunteers. Last year was almost 1,000. This year we're going to need 1,500 volunteers to do all of the projects we have. It's starting on June 1st. It's going all the way through that week, June 1st through 7th. High Church is asking, if you want to serve, you want to get involved, you want to help people, we have tons of projects that you can sign up for online at heightschurch.com. Look it up, get involved, you get a nice red Serve RVA t-shirt, have Heights Church has a map of Richmond and Central Virginia on the back, and you'll be able to help so many people. I can't tell you how many lives have been changed, the people we help and the people who are helping. It's an amazing chance to get involved, Central Virginia, and do something together. You always hear me and Jeff say, you know, remember, you're better together. And what does that actually mean? It means now.
Yep.
If you got some time during that week, look at what you can do. You know, and if you're too tired from work, I just want to explain something to you. A lot of us, a lot of the people, now I won't even put myself there, a lot of the people work 60, 70, 80-hour weeks and then go and serve at Heights to help every weekend. Yep. And what I'm getting at is they've never lived better lives. They don't feel the stress they used to have. They're helping people, and they want to do it. So it doesn't take tons of energy. If you're tired, that's fine. We will take you just to talk to some of these people so they have somebody to talk with if they're down. So many different Serve projects. Please get on. Sorry, Jeff, I had to drop it. It's an amazing opportunity to do something.
Ah, no, don't apologize for that. In fact, you let Pastor Josh know. We can make some time for him if he wants to hop on before it gets underway. Let's ramp up the participation. We're all about good here. You know that. Stan, we love you. That goes without saying, but I said it anyway. And wishing you a meaningful Memorial Day. I'm sure that you and that beautiful family of yours have some plans and ideas, and I will look forward to seeing you very, very soon, my brother.
Jeff, that's so kind. Thank you so much. In Central Virginia, I do truly love you. I love that you guys are our home now. We grew up north, me and Jeff, so having a second home that we can be proud of. Just thank you guys for all you do. Please get involved with your community. Remember, we're better together.
You're a good man. That is Stan Andruski. During the week, you're going to find him at Certified Auto Repair or Arts Automotive Service. Tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., in the garage with Stan Andruski. By the way, the Richmond Times-Dispatch Best of Competition, Certified Auto Repair, can use your nomination support for Best Auto Repair Facility. Yes, I already did it. I did it at least once, wink, wink, but you need to do it as well. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. There is an audible that's been called. Now, I'm not responsible for the calling of this particular audible. However, I will let you in on it. Happy hour here at Casa Katz is delayed this evening. I repeat, happy hour this evening. Well, it's for a good cause, and that is Newsmax, my friends at Newsmax. Ordinarily, you know, the happy hour maneuvers would commence exactly at 18:03 hours. However, with a Newsmax hit this evening, that it's going to be delayed. But I want you to join me. Well, I mean, if you're in the neighborhood, you could join me for the happy hour itself. That'd be fine. We pretty much have an open door policy now that I think about it. But if you are not going to take me up on that, then the least you could do is drop by and watch Newsmax at 6:30. You know, Germ, it just occurred to me. Should I? I mean, I could actually get the happy hour underway at 6:03. But would that be appropriate for a 6:30 television hit? I mean, it could be really entertaining. It could also serve as my last ever appearance on Newsmax. No. You know what? I'm simply going to delay it. Discretion being the better part of valor, I will, in fact, delay it. So 6:30 this evening, I have to be on the set, which means you've got to be tuning in at 6:30. I think it should happen right around 6:40. You do know how this works. We've been through it so many times, and Newsmax is kind of a regular thing now for me, which is great, but it could be later. It's never, ever, ever earlier. It just never is. So be there at 6:30 on Newsmax. I'll see you this evening. And then Sunday morning at 8, love to see you as well. Great things. Newsmax has been very, very kind to us throughout the years. And I am always grateful when they make some time for me. Tony Pham will be with us at 5:35. Tony and I have been buddies for, I don't know, decade plus, I guess, at this point. He is once again serving our country. He's an amazing guy. He's given so much back to the United States, and we should all be grateful for that. Coming up at 5 o'clock, as has become an annual tradition, an annual custom, I will share the story of the four chaplains with you, because I think it absolutely embodies and personifies Memorial Day. 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:06, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday, and we have made it. Congratulations. Self-high-fives all the way around. It is the Friday before Memorial Day. I've adopted this tradition over the last couple of years. 10 years, 20 years, I don't know. I share the story of the four chaplains. Now, the story of the four chaplains is personal, not that I ever knew any of the chaplains, but my dad was honored at the chapel of the four chaplains when I was a little kid. My dad had run into a burning building on Castor Avenue, which was the big shopping street in our neighborhood. My dad was not a firefighter, but he was down there. He had walked down there to get something. We used to go to the Castor Deli, pick stuff up. And he was there, and the way the stores were, above the stores were apartments, and there was a fire in one. And rather than stand aside, as many, I guess, were doing, my father just ran up the steps, and he snatched this older woman and carried her down the steps and saved her life, and then was getting ready to run back up the steps when the Philadelphia Fire Department showed up and said, thank you very much, and we've got it from here. And they did. And somebody took down some information. I suppose the local sector guy, the local police officer. And that was it. I mean, my dad came home smelling of smoke. My mom accused him of smoking. She was sure that's why he smelled like that. It's like he was inside a burning building. No. I I think he was smoking cigarettes with those guys down at the gas station. But that was it. So he saved life and got whatever he was supposed to get at the deli and then came back. And then we got some interesting mail. We got a letter from the Philadelphia Fire Department. We got a letter from the mayor of the city. My dad did. I looked at it when I got home because I was home from school long before he was home from work. But I saw the return addresses. I thought it was really cool. And then he got a delivery from the White House, President of the United States. And he was saluted by the president for that. In fact, I am looking at that certificate right now. That hangs in my studio. That is one of those things that I am not taking down off the wall. And you know why? Because my dad never bothered to put it up on his wall. I found the stuff years later after my dad had passed away. All this stuff is just amazing to me. But one of the things that happened is that he was brought to the, or invited to the Chapel of the Four Chaplains, then located in North Philadelphia. Now it's in South Philadelphia, the old Navy Yard. And the entire purpose of the Chapel of the Four Chaplains is to remember those four men. And once a year, twice a year, I don't know what the schedule is now, but they honor people who in some way have performed an action or have done something that is evocative of the memory of the four chaplains. And this particular year, my dad was one of those who was honored. And it was really cool. And so given my personal connection to the four chaplains, let me share the story. This actually comes from the United States Army Chaplain Corps. I will do my best simply to read it as it is written. It was February the 3rd, 1943, and the U.S. Army transport ship, the Dorchester, was one of three ships in a convoy moving across the Atlantic from Newfoundland to an American base in Greenland. A converted luxury liner, the Dorchester, was crowded to capacity, carrying 902 servicemen, merchant seamen, and civilian workers. It was only 150 miles from its destination when, shortly after midnight, an officer aboard German submarine U-2 spotted it. After identifying and targeting the ship, he gave orders to fire. The hit was decisive, striking the ship far below the waterline. The initial blast killed scores of men and seriously wounded many more. Now, I will add here that many of the men who died as a result of that initial blast, even though that they had been told to sleep where they were really supposed to sleep and they were supposed to be all kitted out, they were supposed to be wearing cold weather gear, the ship was hot. And so a lot of them were kind of in their skivvies and T-shirts, and they were in a world of hurt, even those that survived. Others, stunned by the explosion, were groping in the darkness. Panic and chaos quickly set in. Men were screaming, others crying, or frantically trying to get lifeboats off the ship. Through the pandemonium, four men spread out among the soldiers, calming the frightened, tending the wounded, and guiding the disoriented towards safety. They were four Army chaplains. Lieutenant George Fox, a Methodist. Lieutenant Alexander Good, Jewish rabbi. Lieutenant John Washington, Roman Catholic priest. And Lieutenant Clark Pauling, a Dutch Reformed minister. Quickly and quietly, the four chaplains worked to bring calm to the men. As soldiers began to find their way to the deck of the ship, many were still in their underwear, where they were confronted by the cold winds blowing down from the Arctic. Petty Officer John J. Mahoney, reeling from the gold, headed back down towards his cabin. "Where are you going?" a voice of calm in the sea of distress asked. "To get my gloves," Mahoney replied. "Here, take these," said Rabbi Good, as he handed a pair of gloves to the young officer. "I can't take those gloves," Mahoney replied. "Never mind," the rabbi responded. "I have two pairs." It was long after that Mahoney realized that the chaplain certainly didn't have two pairs. But the chaplain, Rabbi Good never intended to leave that ship. Once topside, the chaplains opened a storage locker and they began distributing life jackets. It was then that engineer Grady Clark witnessed an astonishing sight. When there were no more life jackets in the storage room, the chaplains simultaneously removed theirs and gave them to four frightened young men. When giving their life jackets, Rabbi Good did not call out for a Jew, Father Washington did not call out for a Catholic, nor did Fox or Poling call out for a Protestant. They simply gave their life jackets to the next man in line. One survivor would later say, "It was the finest thing I have seen or hope to see this side of heaven." As the ship went down, survivors in nearby rafts could see the four chaplains, arms linked and braced against the slanting deck. Their voices could also be heard offering prayers and singing hymns. Of the 902 men aboard the United States Army transport ship Dorchester, only 230 survived. Before boarding the Dorchester back in January, Chaplain Poling had asked his father to pray for him. Quote, "Not for my safe return, that wouldn't be fair. Just pray that I shall do my duty, never be a coward, and have the strength, courage, and understanding of men. Just pray that I shall be adequate." Although the Distinguished Service Cross and Purple Heart were later awarded posthumously, Congress wished to confer the Medal of Honor, but was blocked by the stringent requirements which required heroism performed under fire. So a posthumous special medal for heroism, the Four Chaplains Medal, was authorized by Congress and was awarded by the President on January the 18th, 1961. It was never given before, and it will never be given again. If that does not encapsulate everything, everything that Memorial Day is about, I'll post it. I try and post it each and every year. I should also point out the United States Coast Guard was escorting the Dorchester. The United States Coast Guardsmen who were on board their ships did amazing work rescuing men out of the frigid waters. It was quite literally all hands on deck. And when you hear about those chaplains, Rabbi Good says, I got a second pair. Nobody had a second pair. If anybody would have taken a second to just listen to what he said, they would have said, "You're crazy." Or it was Rabbi Good, "You're Meshuggah. You're nuts." Nobody gets a second pair of gloves. Rabbi Good knew he wasn't leaving the ship. And Rabbi Good and the other three were absolutely positively okay with that. That little part about taking off their own life vests. How Father Washington didn't ask for a Catholic young man to come up. Lieutenant Poling didn't ask for somebody who was Protestant, nor did Lieutenant Fox. Lieutenant Good, Rabbi Good, didn't ask for somebody who was Jewish. They just took the vests off, gave them to the next guy in line. And they linked arms as they went down. A truly visible example and a reminder of true interfaith activity, all for the greater good, all for others, selfless, absolutely selfless. I don't think any of us are going to measure up to the four chaplains. But here's a challenge. Here's a mission. Let's try. Let's try and get as close to the four chaplains as we possibly can. Absolutely inspiring. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday, and we have made it. Yeah, congratulations, self high fives all the way around. Looks like it's long weekend for most of us, right? I heard Rich Herrera for Richmond's Morning News saying he's got Monday off. That's good. That's good. Just make sure you're back on Tuesday. Everybody's got to be back bright and early on Tuesday. There's lots of stuff that that is going on. We got a lot of great stuff laid in for next week. Oh, we had great stuff laid in for last week as well, but, you know, that was last week. If you missed last week, easiest thing is to go to WRVA.com because everything is there. If you missed something or you'd like to hear something again or you're thinking, man, I got to share that with somebody, visit WRVA.com. You can share everything over there. Okay, happy to have you do that. Let me tell you what's coming up weather-wise. It's a lovely weekend. I mean, it really, honest to goodness, is. Whatever you're doing, a lot of folks, related to Memorial Day, are going to be out, I hope, placing flags, veteran cemeteries. That's a very big activity that happens this weekend. When I was a scout leader, we did that. I made sure we did that. I'm hoping that other folks have carried on that tradition. Certainly people in my neighborhood, almost just about every single house has got some sort of a flag up. That's appropriate, right? But it's going to be a great weekend for anything that you're thinking of, outdoor activity. Tonight, believe it or not, clear skies, lows of 48. That's some pretty good sleeping weather. Tomorrow, which is Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 75. Sunday, partly sunny, a high of 74. Monday, partly sunny, a high of 74. Still going to be a tad chilly if you're going to the neighborhood swimming pool, but it's still doable. Enjoy it. Why? Well, because on Tuesday, we are going to begin a number of days involving either rain or thunderstorms. I'm looking at Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday a week. Oh, and Sunday. Oh, and then the Monday after. So we got a lot of rain in store for us. That's what I'm telling you. So just be aware of that, okay? Make the most out of this weekend. Now, we have Tony Pham coming up. We haven't chatted with Tony in a little bit. Tony is back up in D.C. Tony is just somebody else who reminds you what America's all about. Tony's family came here as a collection of emigres, right? They lost their home, came here and rebuilt. And I mean, busted their rear ends to rebuild. Tony goes off to be, well, he says he's a country lawyer. He's a heck of a lot more than that. He's a great lawyer, brilliant guy who has served our community. And his sister, marvelous person, who is a doctor, works for the VA up in Boston. Great people. Anyway, Tony is going to be with us at 5:35. It is 5:26. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Five 5:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. It is the Friday before Memorial Day. Yes, a long weekend for most of us. And again, again, and again, I'm going to say it. While we will be out enjoying certain parts of it, right? We're going to have a day off on Monday, most of us. We're perhaps going to be visiting the neighborhood pool or going to the beach or firing up the grill for the first time officially. Please take a moment. Remember what Memorial Day is really all about. Why we get the opportunity to enjoy that extra time. Why we are able to go and travel freely and enjoy life. It is because of the sacrifices. Absolutely because of the sacrifices that so many have made. They have paid the ultimate price. That's what Memorial Day is all about. Your day at the beach, brought to you by their day at the beach. Think D-Day. Monday, at the Virginia War Memorial, I'm hoping you'll take some time out of your day and come by, because in addition to the big Memorial Day ceremony that happens, I think it's 11 in the morning, after that, there are a number of us who will be reading every name, every one of the 12,000 names on the Shrine of Memory down there. Those big walls with the names, each of us have been assigned a chunk of them, and we begin right around noon-ish. I'm one of the first. I know that. And it will continue probably till about 1 o'clock in the morning. But it will continue. That I assure you. Tony Pham is somebody I've said it before, and if he's embarrassed, tough, because I've said it to him as well as about him. He personifies, in my opinion, the entire American dream. Somebody whose family came here, welcomed by America. They worked so doggone hard and sacrificed so much, and they have given so much back. Tony has given so much back to this country. Now he is up in D.C. yet again, working for President Trump. I'm not exactly sure what the role is now. So let me bring Tony into this, and he can explain all of it. Tony, thank you for being here, my friend.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you and your listeners, especially before the Memorial Day holiday on Monday. And, you know, to hold significance in my life, recognizing that up to 58,000 U.S. military personnel died in the war in Vietnam, and this being the 50th anniversary of the fall of Saigon, marking the end of the war, formal end of the war. But this Memorial Day really hits home, recognizing the sacrifices that those soldiers paid the ultimate price for. So if there are listeners here who lost a father, son, husband, uncle, cousin in the Vietnam War, I just wanted them to know that I'm thinking of them and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be in this country.
Beautiful sentiment. And I not the least bit surprised that you voiced that as you always do. Tony, I talk about your service. I talk about all that you have given back to this country. You're once again up in Washington, D.C., serving President Trump. What is the role these days?
Jeff, you know, it was a privilege when I first received the presidential appointment back in 2020 as the Chief Immigration Lawyer for the United States and then subsequently the Acting Director. But second time around is always the charm, they say, right? And so I was very fortunate and grateful and humbled to have been selected as the Assistant Secretary for Border Security and Immigration Policy at main headquarters at DHS at the time. So that was a remarkable experience, you know, looking at it from a larger scale policy-related position, especially during the beachhead days, as we call it, day one operations. It was a tremendous amount of investment and time that the president and his team at the White House. As you saw, their cadence was unmatched. It was fantastic, or how I would say it's fantastic. First time, and I thought I had it figured out, but man, I loved it because they were hammering home pragmatic border security policies that we saw. When you look at them all in tandem with each other, not as a singular executive order, but when you had the ability to actually fill them up on the war room and actually take a look at exactly how the master plan was looking, it was masterful, Jeff. Being able to be a part of that is fantastic. Having shut down the border as of May, border crossings compared to 2021 to 2024 under the previous president, a significant drop, well north of the 95% drop in illegal border crossings. And what that results in, it isn't just the apprehension and lowering the apprehension of total numbers at the border, but it's also saving the lives of the migrants that are going to risk their lives traversing through the Darien Gap, mm-hmm. but also dying in the deserts trying to sneak into the United States, and also save the lives of the children and the women that were going to be trafficked through the forced labor or the sex trafficking rings that the cartels had dominated for so long for the last 4 years. Those were the targets that the president had put out there for his policy team to put together action plans. So as the assistant secretary, it was a fantastic experience in looking at all three spaces, right? CIS, CBP, and ICE for the interior enforcement side. I'll leave it at that. Again, just very fortunate, very grateful to come to this country as an immigrant in 75, and 50 years later, here I am, being able to thank your listeners, for their faith and trust in my abilities to do the job.
I am, as always, blown away by what you have done, what you are doing. With this focus, as you say, some of it now on the interior enforcement, does that mean that we now once again have control of our borders? Because for 4 years, it sure seemed like the out of office sign was posted there and everything was open.
Yeah, just some of the things that I discovered while working and having access to, right? Most of the people in the general public, they don't realize the information that you get once you assume the seat that a predecessor had under the previous administration. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to spend some time talking about the past, Jeff, but I think it should anger, it would anger a lot of listeners who may not be, you know, dedicated Democrats, right, who are going to march in line with Biden. But to see some of the policies they put in place knowing that it was going to compromise our national security because of intentional non-vetting of high-risk individuals simply by letting them use the CBP One app and then giving them a ticket and then flying them into the United States. These are things that we learned when we were uncovering and peeling the onion back after 15-hour workdays up there that was occurring. So, yes, you'll see an enhanced interior footprint, but that's what happens when the previous administration floods the market space with 10 million undocumented aliens. I'm going to use the term that is actually in the Immigration Nationality Act, right? I'm not a feel-good kind of, I'm saying they're aliens who are here illegally.
That's right.
You know, you have to, the phrase is you have to choke off the supply, which is secure the border, so you can get control of it, and we do have operational control of it. We wrested it from the criminal cartels. We designated them foreign terror organizations for a specific reason for potential action. That's and that was by design to protect the national security of this nation and protect the individuals who would be preyed upon by these criminal cartels. But once the supply is choked off, Jeff, and I don't mean to talk year to death, we can now focus on, you know, enforcement in the interior, and you'll see pragmatically all hands on deck, FBI, DEA, throw me some ATF agents out there, right? CBPs out there. We have to go find these individuals that we know through our intel briefings and looking at the heat map are criminal aliens that are going to create substantial risk of harm. I mean, just 5 days ago, we had a report of five Honduran migrants, juveniles who were here and let in illegally, shot and robbed and killed a mother of two in South Carolina. Mm. I mean, there's still some interior cleanup that has to happen. And then I just hope that when that interior gets, we get it under control to the best we can. We're never going to be, we can be in this game for five terms.
Right.
Previous administration let in so many people, and you've seen the activist courts now begin to issue nationwide injunctions trying to slow down the pace of removals. We could be here for five terms, and we still may never reach touching the 10 million individuals, right?
Wow.
But that will not deter the department. That will not deter the administration. Because, you know, this is what the American people voted for an administration to take it seriously, to get a handle on it.
Yep.
And most importantly, protect our national security and public safety. I weep, and I do weep for that mother of two, because now we have two children who are going to grow up without their mother when this senseless crime could have been prevented. I tell people all the time, immigration enforcement against criminal aliens is actually crime prevention, right?
That's right.
You know, you get individuals like for these sanctuary cities and these sanctuary jails who refuse to turn over criminal aliens to ICE. They've already proven twice now that they're here, they'll commit crimes. One, it's criminal to enter the United States. It's punishable,
mm-hmm.
okay, as a crime. Two, while they were here, they committed a crime and got arrested by local law enforcement and got thrown in jail. And all ICE is trying to do is pick them up and remove them.
Yep.
And so we can prevent future crime. Quite honestly, that's how I look at it. And I'm a former prosecutor and jailer. And I see it. I've been in the system for a long time. And I love the equities and authorities that the IMA provided, Congress provided.
Yes.
ICE under Title VIII, so it's not just ICE, forgive me. Title VIII authority goes with the FBI agents as well, Homeland Security officers. You can deputize people under 287G. Jeff, you know the drill. We can deputize local sheriff's deputies go out there and enforce immigration law under the supervision of ICE, which I think is fantastic.
I do as well. Assistant Secretary Tony Pham, I am grateful to you as always. I am proud of you as always. And you will see the president long before I do. So please, you let him know that the people of Central Virginia are very much on his side. God bless you, my friend. That is Tony Pham, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Self high five.
Bam! Self high fives all the way around. It is Friday. We have made it. Congratulations. Yeah. Memorial Day Friday. We, God willing, will be back on Tuesday. Good stuff there. Rich Herrera will be here Tuesday morning, 6 a.m., Richmond's Morning News. I just got a text from... I was going to call him a friend, but he's another family. You know, I've talked about the McTernans throughout the years. The McTernans, Rich and Jan, have adopted me like a stray puppy when I got here. They're family. And somebody who was very important to the McTernan family actually, quite shockingly, passed away today. And it's somebody I was privileged to have met. I did not know him. I don't want to sit here and tell you that I knew him personally, but I heard so many great things from Rich and from Mike, and I wanted to share it with you because it's a very big loss to the Central Virginia community. Tim Brooks was a gentleman who was over there at James River Equipment for 40-plus years, and he knew absolutely everything about every piece of equipment, about anything that had a mechanical component, an engine. 40 years at James River Equipment. If you've ever interacted with James River Equipment, I can guarantee you, you interacted with Tim. Well, he passed away today. Very, very unexpectedly. Leaves behind a beautiful wife, Becky. Two children. Just trying to... decide what's appropriate to share on the air. His daughter Megan, his son Colin. I don't think they'll be upset that I share their names. A really, really good guy. I'm going to also post a little something over on Facebook, and then we'll share it all. If you interacted with Tim at some point through the years at James River Equipment, then by all means, please remember the Brooks family and your... in your prayers this evening. He was a vital part of this community, vital part of the business community. And on a personal basis, he was actually my friend Rich McTernan's first customer, first ever customer for Prince George Towing, for Three Sons Towing down there in the Prince George area. So Tim is going to be missed. Please keep his family in your prayers. There are so many that should be in our prayers. It is Memorial Day, after all. I want you to keep these men and women close to your heart. If you have the opportunity on Monday, join us at the Virginia War Memorial. By all means, enjoy yourself. Celebrate the fact that you can enjoy yourself, and it is only as a result of those sacrifices from those heroes. We will end, as we have ended since October the 7th, 2023, by playing Hatikva. It is the Israeli national anthem. It is Hebrew for the hope. Have a very meaningful weekend.